Hello and welcome to the Connected Community Podcast. Today, my guest is Rimsha Warda, and we talk about embracing the divine feminine. And I really think that this is an important topic. Us as women, we sometimes avoid that divine feminine, that part of ourselves that is open, that's receptive, that's creative, and we kind of step into that masculine world. And so today, Rimsha and I talk about how to break down the barriers so that we're stepping into our divine. Rimsha had a path. She was born and raised in Pakistan. She didn't move to the United States until she was 14. She found that lifestyle very repressive for women. She was in a full burqa. Women weren't respected in that culture. And she was experiencing physical and sexual abuse as a child. And then when she became of age, she married a man and found herself in an abusive relationship once again. This was the waking up moment for her. She woke up, bust through all of these containers that had been holding her whole life, found her voice, found her experience with divine, embraced her divine feminine. And she is here to share her story with us today. And so I really hope you'll enjoy this episode. Please take a moment to give us a like, a share, and a subscribe. And we're going to just dive on in. Hello, and welcome to the Connected Community Podcast, a place to explore possibility through mindfulness, movement, and self-discovery. Our intention is to deliver insight and inspiration while fostering conversations that are genuine, unfiltered, and deeply human. We hope you will enjoy today's episode. Hi, Rimsha. Good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me here. I've been waiting for this for like weeks since we've last talked, so I'm really excited to be here.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for joining me on the Connected Community Podcast. I want you to tell us a little bit about yourself. So today we're going to kind of dive into the feminine divine, connecting with our feminine selves. And you describe yourself as a shamana and a medicine woman and a healer. So what does that mean to you?
Again, thank you for having me here. I am a healer through and through, but when I say a healer, I don't mean that I heal people. All I mean is that I facilitate healing spaces for people to be empowered to do their inner work. And the best way I can explain is like I'm basically like walking in the dark with you so you can find the light within. Mm. That's, and so there is a lot of a space of freedom for me to work with just about anybody and anything, because everything that I create is intuitively. So when I have somebody that I'm working with, specifically when I work with group communities, I invite in my highest guides, I invite in their guides and their ancestors and anybody who can support us in the journey. And then we basically quantum leap together. We explore the infinite possibilities that we have and go into parts of ourselves that we have lost, that we are actually trying to find worthiness through our jobs and partners and kids and titles and all these layers that we have of being a human. We shed all of them to come back into wholeness. And that's really, I feel like my purpose is to teach and guide people into being their whole self. So that's what my shamanic work is like.
Yeah. What does it look like for you taking somebody on a shamanic journey?
Okay, so I think a good example would be this past weekend. I led a sacred rage ceremony, and I led them all through Kalima activation. For those of you who don't know what Kalima is, do you know much about her?
Yeah.
Okay, so she is a dark mother. She is, in my language, she's called Black Mother, and what she represents is the fearful unconditional love. Now, what she looks like, she's got like skulls all around her. She's got a shamanic staff in her hand with a skull on top, and she's standing on top of a man who's Shiva. But there's this wrong belief that she doesn't believe in patriarchy, or she doesn't like men, or she is a men hater. But really, what she's showing is the Shiva is representing that masculine structure, that masculine ground, that safety containment for her fearful love to exist, which is really, really, really powerful. So when we led the activation, what it was to activate Kalima that sits at the base of our spine. through Kundalini activation and then allowing her to connect with the Shiva that sits up here and then allowing her to actually exist within you through a flame and to allow her to burn away whatever that no longer serves you. So it is a guided meditation. It's also a somatic practice. So there are dancing that you're doing. You're moving your body. You're listening to like, what are you feeling into, right? We're going deep, 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 deep within our body. I've gone through a lot of the years that was no longer working, right? Because I was trying to solve my life problems through the mind. And when healing actually happens through the body. And so when I tap into my heart and realize, oh, it feels numb. Oh, I am so scared to access my heart. Then I tap into what numbness feels like, tastes like, looks like, moves like, and really becoming intimate with it rather than demonizing any parts of ourselves. So that activation was so powerful for everybody, for them to not only express what was happening in the body when that energy was activated, the fierce unconditional love was activated.
Yeah.
But also allowing that to be transmuted through the sound. And for a lot of women, it was this rage that they were carrying because it has been suppressed for thousands of years for us.
Yeah.
And so it was really powerful. And it was interesting because in that circle, I had men when I created that event for only women. I'm like, okay, cool. This is going to be interesting. And it was so cool to see that they did not experience anger. They experienced grief, because grief is what it's not. It's taboo for the masculine world. Like, God forbid if you cry, right? And for women, it's like, God forbid if you show anything other than this like soft sadness. And so it was really cool to see what that activation of Kalima arose in the emotional body for all men and women. So that's like a small snippet of what a shamanic journey can look like. And when there's a release happens, it's so interesting. Like, you don't need to think about the story of why I feel this rage within me. It's rather just allowing your body to release it. And then when it happens, it's so, so beautiful. The freedom and liberation people experience, not only in their being, but how things start to change externally in their life, which I find really, really powerful. And this is where my life changed when I tapped into this work. It's like working through the mind is no longer helping me. I'm carrying, my nervous system is fried. I'm just carrying all these wounds that I don't know how to actually be intimate with or feel them or release them. So this work has been so, so powerful to not only for myself, but my clients as well.
So what are some of the ways that you release that energy? And then how do you work with someone if they're terrified or they're new to that and they aren't ready, or they're getting blocked by the mind? How do you get them to get into their body and release things out?
Breathwork.
Yeah.
Breathwork is, well, we'll start with a meditation practice to bring in sovereignty of the self. And when you bring in that space of like this, I use a golden light or a veil around you, it's interesting because we're playing with the imagination world, but people start to feel safe, especially when I voice like, you are all parts of you are welcomed here. And when you say that, when you invoke it, there is this activation that starts to happen in the body. It's like, ooh, this hate that I have in my body is welcomed. Ooh, this bitchiness that I feel is welcomed. These icky parts of me that I don't want the world to see about me is welcomed here. So there's this activation that starts to happening just through the meditation. And then we go into breathwork. Now, the breathwork, as you know, is really good at melting away the frontal cortex, the part of your brain that is reasoning, that is constantly fighting for survival, right? Yeah. It's trying to make sense of our human experience, and then kicks in the primal brain, the parts of our brain that is wired for your survival when you were from your 0 to 15 years old, right? In your development process. So all those things that you're carrying in your nervous system starts to show up that people can't help but feel safe to just express them. And also, you know, I make it always very honest. Like, if you feel safe to feel your feelings, you're welcome here. If you don't want to, you just want to see them and just witness them, that's okay too. And then in community gatherings, if like one person starts to feel their feelings, openly express them, it's like there's permission for everybody else to feel like, oh, like my inner child can come here. Oh, I feel all these ancestral wounds, they're welcomed here. And there's this communal activation that starts to happen, which is I'm just this like this container holder, but everybody else is like triggering and activating each other into this awakening journey. And it's so cool. Like how many times I have people tell me they've like met their soulmate in that circle, not like life partner soulmate, but like sister whole soulmate. Oh. They're like, oh my gosh, I've had girlfriends my whole life, but I've never allowed myself to like experience something like this with other women. And once you have that, it's like, man, I don't want to let go of that, you know? So there's like this forged relationships that are also built through those communities.
Yeah. Let's talk about this feminine aspect that, because as you're talking, I'm thinking in the last year too, I've kind of been reclaiming that feminine energy in my life and with my friendships and kind of diving into that. And I didn't realize how disconnected I was until now that I'm diving into it. And so like, why are we getting so disconnected from our feminine divine, and how do we reclaim that, and why is it important? And how do we get from the place where we're in that and we're not slipping out of it? You know how we kind of like go through life and then we slip out of our phases and then we kind of find it again? How do we stay in that space?
I love the last part you shared. I feel like the divine feminine is like, it is a part of remembrance. So you have to forget in order for you to remember. Because it is the dark. It is the unknown. Do we want to live in the unknown? Absolutely not. It is terrifying.
Yeah.
So no wonder we forget that, right? We forget that, like we have this like innate guidance from the universe. We have this God and goddess inside of us that is constantly guiding us. Right? Like we are sovereign beings. We're not just every time we claim like today I'm going to have a great day. You're going to have a great day because you're claiming it. That's the God in you. That's literally opening up this space to through your word, through your spell, you're saying I'm going to have a phenomenal day. And you're opening up that energy to have that phenomenal day. I'll share a little bit about my journey to kind of give context of like how I walk that path, because it can help kind of guide people into like, ooh, this is kind of where I am, or ooh, this is where I'm awakening into.
Yeah.
So I was extremely in my masculine, and I was born and raised in Pakistan, so I didn't grow up in a free land. And I felt so caged, so trapped in my being as a woman, because where I come from, you can't even get a divorce. You have really no rights. You know, your voice is like considered half the voice of a man. So if you're coming into a law and you have to have two witnesses versus a man can come and speak his own truth and he will be validated for that, you know? So growing up as a child, like I felt it in my bones that I'm not whole. And it is a curse to be a woman. And then when I started bleeding and my mother just handed me like piece of cloth to shove up my, you know, pants, educated on like what's happening. And I feel like I'm dying.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
You know, it was very terrifying for me. I demonized my period. I demonized, you know, birth. Like I didn't know. I kid you not, Nikki. I did not know how a child was born until I was 18 years old.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I didn't know what sex was. I didn't, you know, I grew up in a culture where I a conservative word does not even like fall into place. It's like so anything, suppressed. Right? It's so suppressed, like it's so suppressed. And the interesting thing is I was born in a portal, like it's a light portal. So you go back to, you know, Pakistan and India, it is a very, very healing ground. There's a reason, like yoga comes from our part of the world, astrology, like we hold ancient codes within our being, but as large as the light is, so is the shadow and the darkness.
Yeah.
And so, you know, specifically for women, when I started to understand what was happening, I really felt like, Nikki, that I don't belong here. So I must become a man. I must perform like one. Mm-hmm. I must act like one. And it would be so much cooler if I work on cars. It would be so much cooler if I'm smart and intellectual rather than really feminine. Mm-hmm. And what that femininity is, not necessarily how you dress or how you do your nails or eyebrows. Like we have this perception of the feminine essence, but that's not what it is at all. Mm-hmm. Because you'll meet a man who you'll see like, damn, this man is like really whole in his feminine essence. Like if you meet my husband, you'll see that man like has this deep knowing of the self. That is the divine feminine.
Yeah.
We have these like two poles inside of us. It's the masculine and feminine. And women are the physical manifestation of the feminine energy. but we're not the feminine energy itself. Men also have their own two poles of like this inner masculine energy and then the feminine energy. And for me, I personally believe that, well, a woman is being a curse on this planet, so I must become a man. And I was a Marine Corps officer. I was an aerospace engineer. I walked a path that was so highly intellectual, so in my brain. Like, I needed to live in that space in my head for survival, because God forbid I felt my heart. God forbid, God forbid if I felt my womb.
And that's a male-dominated too, right? I mean, that's so male-dominated.
Yes, 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 yes. And it's like the mind is a beautiful thing, but the mind has like very concrete boundaries. The mind says, listen, anything outside of what I know, out of my culture, religion, and like intellectually what I know, I'm not going to step into that. The mind is afraid of that.
Yeah.
And that's why they say follow your heart, because your heart is like, is very much rooted in the divine feminine. It says, I am curious about the depth of love. I'm curious about the depth of pleasures.
Yeah.
The divine feminine is this universal portal of like, I'm not me anymore, and I'm willing to receive from Mother Earth. I'm willing to receive from the trees, from the clouds, from the birds that are around me, and receive that wisdom to guide me through this world, to guide me to raise my children, to guide me to be an incredible wife and to incredible businesswoman. The feminine path is being so connected with yourself that there's no other authority that owns you.
But how do we start, though, if somebody's wanting to just, like, they have no idea, that's super scary, they don't even know where to begin, what are some things that they can do for themselves to kind of slowly walk into more of a feminine place?
Yeah. So specifically for women, we have the gift of being cyclical beings, right? We have four cycles that we go through. I would say start studying that. A lot of women are also out of whack with their cycles, which makes sense because we're not really tapped into the universal energy. We're not tapped into our own energy. Yeah. But I think the best way to start is to start understanding your cycles and having a chart up there on your wall. Like, I have my board and my husband also looks at it every week, like where I am in my cycle, what I'm needing, you know, and letting that to guide me. So, for example, for menstruation period, your period cycle, it's a cycle to shed. You are in the dark. That is the best time to connect with your feminine essence. Mm-hmm. Why is it the hardest? Because your period it forces you to kind of stay still a little bit.
Yeah.
And forces you to not produce so much because you literally can't. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of us push ourselves. It is the perfect time to wake up every morning and sit in a meditation and ask yourself, what am I letting go of energetically and physically? What are some things in my life that are no longer serving me? Because that will happen. It's like this constant cycle that we go through. So that is really the time for me to not only sit with the things that are being released from my body, but also connect with my body and saying like, okay, what are some things I literally also need to let go of? What are some belief systems that I can let go of? And then when you go into your follicular cycle, that is the time to like start brainstorming. You're like higher in your masculine. Mm-hmm. Use that structure in place. Great time to do business meetings and really like have plans for like what you want to produce in your business or with your family, like trips or whatever it is. And like really like get into the groove. You'll have a lot of energy, lift weights, eat a lot of food. Like, it's a perfect time, right?
A place for creativity, right? Like energy, creativity, manifestation, starting new things.
Yes, yes, yes. I would say planning more than manifestation. It's like when you start to let go, it's like there's all this space in yourself, in your being, to call in what you actually want in your life. And then you go into planning phase. And then you go into your ovulation phase. And that's like when you're the most magnetized. Do your sales. That's the time to like put your podcast out there. That's the time to put yourself like really out there to the world. Go on dates or whatever that can help you. And it's also the time women just feel naturally so beautiful. You just naturally like can't help but like love yourself through that process.
I mean, there's so much science behind this too, right? Like all the different cycles and where we are in the cycles and how that works with our hormones and our mood and our creativity and like when we need to rest and when we need to be energized. But I think in this culture, in America especially, we just kind of plow through everything. Like even if there's a trauma, we don't take the time to stop and lick our wounds. We just kind of take a day off and then just go back into like plowing forward. And I think that's cool what you're saying about listening to the cycles, because that's one way, if we can like listen to the cycles and we can really look at our energy and we can be introspective and then flow a little bit through life a little bit more easily instead of bumping into walls.
Yes. I use this cycle journal. You can track everything and it helps. It's so cool to see, like I could see consistency like 5 days like in advance. I'm like, oh, cool. Like I know I don't even need to check my Garmin watch to see what cycle I'm on, because my journal alone will show me what my mucus look, my cervical mucus looks like, what my temperature is. You'll check like your different moods, especially your moods will tell you where in the cycle you are. So you don't take things personally. So you realize like, oh, I'm in my cycle. That's just what's happening internally. So you don't take everything that's external of you personally. Like again, my husband knows when I step into a luteal cycle, he's like, okay, she's a lot tender. I have to be careful with my words because she's going to feel them a lot more deeply than usual.
Yeah.
She's going to have a hard time taking a joke. Oh my gosh. Yeah. It is such a great tool. And like doing it daily. And then it has like a journal prompts and other tools for women to do womb healing and different tools. And also like what sort of food you should be eating in different cycles. So it's a great tool. So I'll share that with you afterwards.
Yeah. What about like the feminine divine in community? So why is that important? How do we step into that with other women?
If you monitor what's happening on the planet right now, this is very much the roaring divine feminine, the volcanic eruptions, the storms, the uncontrollable rains in places that it hasn't seen rain. This is the divine feminine kind of coming out. And you can tell like a lot of women are also quote unquote waking up, right? It is actually happening. And I'm seeing this like collective shift that's happening. So the divine feminine is already like waking up, and it's starting with individually. And then, well, it started on the planet, like the planet as a whole. And then it started like individually, we're all feeling it. So you may not know what's happening in Syria or Afghanistan and other parts of the world, but we're all like connected through a same feel, so we're all gonna feel it, and it's all gonna trigger our divine feminine to wake up. And so I would say, why is it so important for women to gather together? Because all of us are feeling it, but nobody's really openly talking about it. What I've realized is when women gather together, we see like, holy cow, how much we actually have in common, and how much what we're feeling, we actually share that in community. So why should we walk this path alone when we can do it together?
Yeah. I think it's hard to find that spiritual community. I just found a spiritual community that I'm a part of in the last year, and it's changed my entire trajectory and life. And I just feel so supported and so seen and so accepted. The good, the bad, the ugly, like all of it. Like I can be exactly who I am and express myself exactly how I wish in that circle, and know that I'm loved and held and supported. And I feel that way towards everyone in the circle. But it is hard to find that spiritual community, especially if you're just diving into the journey and you don't have that community already in place. It's tricky to find. And I found mine through like a medicine, plant medicine circle, and it's a solid community, but I don't even know like how people can find that. Because I think a lot of time just women together, not in community and not in those circles, can be pretty competitive and compare themselves to others. And I've found that through my life, and this circle is different, and I don't know if everyone has these circles and how easy they are to find, or where people can get that support, especially if they start waking up along their spiritual journey and they're, in a community that's not on that path. Do you have any suggestions?
Yeah, for sure. Plant medicine is such a great way to definitely find communities. But you don't have to go there, right? You can experience like psychedelic experiences just even through breathwork, as you know. But for me, what it was is that I couldn't find it. I was also a Marine, though. I was like surrounded by just men. So how I found my tribe was I created spaces. I was like, I don't know how people are going to find me. I don't know how to find other people, but I'm just going to create a space. And I called it, I hosted a retreat in a completely different state. Didn't know anybody. I called it Reawaken the Goddess. And I was going through my own awakening journey. I just created spaces that I needed.
Yeah.
And so I created that, and that kind of kickstarted my journey of like attracting, magnetizing women who are in the same realm. I would also say the best way to start is by speaking your truth and speaking your needs. Like, what are you needing? When you invoke, like, just feel a lot of sadness and I'm so confused by it, it will inspire others to start speaking their truth. And when there is authenticity and integrity in place, what you'll notice is that communities start to build on their own. I would say the key thing is you will magnetize that community and organically create community by simply speaking your truth and being honest, rather than when people ask you, how are you doing? And you say, I'm good. You'd really say what you're actually feeling and talk about the things that matter to you.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing I'm realizing is that so many women, their throat chakra hasn't opened up completely or appears open and it's not completely open. And once we start speaking our truth and speaking our thoughts and our feelings and standing up for each other, that kind of opens up another world for us. And that along with that is like boundary setting, standing up for ourselves, figuring out our likes and our dislikes, putting that out there, not letting people walk on us. That is a big step that's really scary for a lot of women is opening up that throat chakra. And in that community would be a great space to practice that in a safe space.
Yeah. Yeah. My throat chakra was so blocked and I launched a podcast for that reason. I was like, I'm just going to speak my truth to the world. And I don't care who listens to it. I need to learn and practice it. And, you know, if you look back in my few initial episodes, you could even hear like this high pitchness because I'm not grounded in my own truth.
Yeah.
And that has shifted over the past few months where I'm like, I am becoming one with my truth and allowing me to actually like clearly speak it rather than speaking from fear or speaking from guilt or speaking from like this, oh my God, people are going to judge me. And also, again, breathwork, yoga, there's so many tools out there now that you can like literally Google like throat chakra opening meditation and you'll be able to open up your throat chakra. But it is a consistent practice of stepping into your truth and speaking from integrity in whatever space that you choose to step into.
Yeah. I want to dive into your history a little bit further. And you've shared this publicly that you came from a background with physical and sexual abuse. You then being raised in Pakistan, you were covered like full burqa, like really repressed. I think you even mentioned it wasn't even until a couple of years ago that you started showing your legs and your body. And then there was this path of forgiveness towards your father and male figures. And so I'm wondering if you're willing to kind of share a little bit about that and how you broke out of that space of being quiet and being submissive to breaking out, but not only breaking out of that space, but going into a place of forgiveness, which is like a whole nother level of healing. I mean, like a whole nother level.
Yeah. Gosh, that's a big question. Whew. When you even asked me that question, the first thing I saw with my ex-husband's face, my journey really, really, really kickstarted in healing my toxic inner masculine was my divorce, a very cathartic overnight. Things were amazing. And then the next morning, it's like, whoa, I have been living with a man who was lying for years. Mm. And there was so much infidelity. And then the abuse started to come because he was fearful of losing me. And I watched. And then he started hitting me. And it's just things got so ugly so fast. And I will never forget when I looked at his face and realized for the first time in my life, I married my father.
Mm.
And not only I realized that, I married the father that I had when I was a young girl who was used as a punching bag. Long story short, my father and I have the best relationship now. So there's always a way through. But when he was younger and, you know, I guess in his own late 20s and early 30s, where I'm stepping into now, which is so wild. Mm-hmm. He didn't know what he was doing. He had to step into his own survival and raise children and be in a world where his own sensitive soul was not really welcomed. And so, you know, I was the victim of his anger. I was the punching bag for his anger. And I felt in that time period when I was, say, maybe 10, I believed what I took as my truth was that love is not unconditional. And it's safe for love to be this way. It's safe for love to be this powerfully intense and painful. Mm. It's safe for love to be abusive. It's safe for love to be violent. So because that child took that as her truth,
yeah,
she perpetuated that truth for the rest, like 15 years of her life. Now, this isn't intellectually done. It is in your nervous system embedded, right? Again, your primal brain is like, well, that's what you know. You don't know what safe love feels like, and you don't know what that even is. So I'm going to keep magnetizing situations where you keep bringing back your father into your space. You keep meeting him again and again and again. So it was very, very difficult to not only own that and realize, like, my ex-husband is here as a gift, as a mirror to show me where my wounds are.
Yeah,
that's all he's doing. Yes, it was ugly, but my forgiveness lied in seeing, like, he's simply showing me where I am, where what I believe love to be for myself, what I feel worthy of love to be, you know. And he was just becoming my mirror. And he was also a pathological liar, so, so good at lying. And I was like, man, how did I end up being with somebody who was so good at lying for this long? How could you lie to somebody to the extent I was lied to? And I realized he was reflecting back my own lack of integrity. I was such a liar. I mean, I did not know how to own my own truth because I was scared of my own magic. The kind of work that I do is not for everyone. And it is very, very triggering and activating for a lot of people. And in order for me to step into my truth, Nikki, I lost everybody. My mom cut her cords from me. Besides my father, who I have a really good relationship, my sister.
Which is ironic, right?
Yes.
That's ironic. That your mom. Wow, interesting. Yeah.
Well, here's the interesting thing. When I chose to look at my ex-husband and say, this is not my truth, and I'm going to change my story right here, right then, and like walking away from him was the hardest thing I ever had to do because I loved him so dearly. It was me changing the story of my own mother who put up with her own abuse, right? So, of course, it was so triggering for her to see a woman, her own child, stand in her truth, stand in her power, because she couldn't do that for herself. And quite frankly, she didn't have the option to do what I could because I am in a free world.
Culturally,
I had
right.
a lot of wealth. I was living in a home, you know, I was about to buy a home for myself. So I was standing on this ground where it was like, I don't care if I lose everyone and everything. I'm just done living a life of a lie. And I realized I married somebody who was a pathological liar because I was not living in my truth at all. Because, and what does that mean? What does that mean to not live in my truth? I was not religious and I was lying about that. I was not this like masculine heavy person, but I was lying about it, hiding behind my degrees, hiding behind my intellectual abilities, hiding behind the way I talked in those intellectual spaces, and not realizing, like, I am a highly sensitive soul. I feel so deeply. I feel so, so, so deeply, and I see everybody, but I would never tell them what I see in them. And my relationship with the spirit, I was a child who was very well, I felt cursed at the time, but I'm very gifted. I could see spiritual beings. I get visitation nearly every night. I was very, very in tune with my body. I was in tune with my dream realm. I received like direct wisdom from, you know, beings from outside of this planet. So it's like, can I talk about that shit anywhere? No. So of course, I got to have compassion for not only him, but for myself. That of course I was living a life of a lie. And so, of course, I magnetized the person I chose to love was a person who was mirroring back all parts of myself that I took on as my truth that it wasn't, yeah. you know? And so that's kind of where I started to not only see my inner child wounds, I started to see my girlfriends. Like, I was around really, really toxic women who were, like you said, competitive. Walked all over me, and it was like, man, like, why do I accept women in my life who are so abusive?
Interesting.
Right? Yeah. Because I was in my toxic masculine. It had nothing to do with them. I believed that that's what I deserved, that I deserved to be walked all over. And since, like, I started living my truth, now the women that are around me, like you said, it's like, they're just so supportive. We are so good at holding each other and supporting each other and, like, having zero judgment, knowing that we all have different unique codes. We have our own journey. My primary guide is Kalima. Like, it's going to be very triggering for a lot of women who live in their love and light, because I don't. I don't live in my love and light. I have known some deep fucking pain. The place that I grew up in, like, I don't see women like myself in my circles. When I sit in ceremonies, there is nobody like myself in my circle. I'm going through sex coaching training. I am the only one that looks like me. So, like, the level of pain that I have endured and the journey, the mountains that I had to climb to go over to the other side.
Yeah.
That, of course, my codes are very different than everybody else. But that's the thing. We're all unique in that way.
But how did you bust out of that? How did you, like, leave the marriage? How did that look with the relationship with your family falling apart and your friendship circles and then leaving your marriage? How did that look?
Yeah, I lost everything in that process. Everything.
But how did you lose everything? Did you start becoming very vocal? Did you change? All of a sudden you're like, I don't want to hang out with these people anymore. How did that unfold?
So this is really interesting, right? So it was February 2022. And around this time, my ex-husband, the whole interaction happened where he did hit me. We dove deep, like, what the heck is happening? And then I received screenshots of, like, all sorts of infidelity and all that stuff. And I kicked him out of my house, or our house. I was like, I think you need to go back to Florida where you come from, and you need to spend some time with your family and realize what the heck went wrong. Because this is not the man I married. So something's wrong here. And it was the first time in a long time I had to, like, lay in bed alone. And I felt so, so alone. It was so dark. Most of the things that I even had in the house was his, because I'm very minimalist, or I was very minimalist, and I didn't own much. So I'm, like, looking around me, and it's like, it's just emptiness. To give you a little bit of a historical background, because I had a lot of connection with the spiritual realm, I was also scared of the night. So when it would get dark, I would have to have all my lights on, all my candles on, because I could read the shadows. I could see the things that wanted to speak itself. Even if they were light beams, I was just scared of them. I was just scared because it was not something talked about. It was not, I didn't want to take myself as somebody crazy. But it was the first night, I think in my entire life, I actually turned off all the lights and I laid down, blanket no longer covered. So I sleep with my blanket also covered over me, because I feel safe in that protection veil. And I slept and said, I don't care. And I let the doors open. I just said, I don't care anymore. I give up. Like, I'm defeated. I'm not scared anymore. What can be worse than this? And it was that night I had a psychic attack. The thing that I feared the most, the thing that I went through a lot as a child, where these things would come and sit on my chest, or, like, growl at me, or, like, gnaw at me, my whole body would go paralyzed. Is that something you've ever experienced before? No. Yeah. So these psychic attacks, your body will basically melt away, kind of like in a psychedelic experience, and you enter a spiritual realm, and you would go into the underworld. And I remember, like, my entire house around me turned into tar, like, black. It was like this oil tar all around me. And there was this thing. It was just sitting on my chest. And it was the first time in my life. It wasn't just sitting there, just traumatizing me. It was also speaking to me. And it started talking to me about my mother, my grandmother, just talking shit about my lineage, my ancestors, just all this darkness spewing. And it was the first time I felt this, like, hell no, you are no longer welcomed here. And I remember to this day, I felt this, like, hole opening up in my heart. I kid you not, Nikki, I saw this light coming. It was so dark in my room because it was the first time ever I, like, let the lights come down. this light came through and he blew off of me. And the light was so powerful. It's like, I felt like my windows shattered. And that thing has yet to ever visit. Now, that thing is specifically that entity had visited me since I was a little girl.
Yeah.
Since I was a little girl. So it had been haunting me for 26 years of my life until, you know, 2 years ago where I was like, I am defeated. I'm no longer, let me face you. And so when that happened, I got to tap into like my literal power and things started to shift pretty drastically, starting with me driving home and saying, I'm going to have to tell my parents that I'm, you know, letting go of this marriage. Now, as a Pakistani and as a Muslim woman, marriage is like everything, everything. Like your mother, like you're born and your family's already deciding who you're going to be wed off to. Like it's a very, very serious thing.
Yeah.
And it's not taken as sacred as I experience love to be, because it's very much like monetary. It's very much like, are you being protected? Is there going to be a man who can take care of you so we can get our hands off of you and then someone else can take care of you?
Is there a dowry? There's a dowry system?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So when I married this man, by the way, I married a white man. So it was a love marriage. So my parents like were already uncomfortable with the path that I was taking. And I got home and I sat with my parents and I told them like, listen, this is what happened and I need to step away. And my mother was like, well, you must have given her reason to hit you. Or she went into like all these reasonings. And it was like, I saw my 20-year-old mother come out like the younger woman who dealt with my father's abuse. She was defending her own wounds.
Yeah.
You know, it had nothing to do with me. It was like she was defending that part of herself that put up with this shit for so, so long. And then I heard my father. I felt this like choking up in his throat. And he's like, I don't care. Do what you have to do to protect yourself.
Wow.
Like this is coming from a man who like...
Yeah.
Well, like I felt so much rage towards my father for so many years. I felt like the way he was, the violence that he put, especially on my brothers. I had always this like close connection with my brothers more than my sisters, like protecting them. And I know it was the protection of his own little child that I was trying to always protect his little child inside of him.
Yeah.
And my mother did not support me through the divorce. When I started leaving the house and saying my goodbyes, my father came out and he like, for the first time in my entire life, he gave me a hug and he held me and he said, I am sorry.
Wow.
Now, I have never voiced to him that how much what he did affected me, but it was the first time I didn't know that I needed to hear the words, I'm just sorry. I'm sorry. And he held me to his heart. He's quite tall. I'm really tiny. And he held me and I felt this like, this wound that I've been carrying, this fatherhood wound my whole life, just shattering completely. Mm. And so interesting, Nikki, right after that, my relationship with men in general started to shift where I started to like magnetize men who were sensitive, who were like embodying the current version of my father, who's very wise and faithful and religious and centered and grounded. And, you know, the father that I witness him to be, again, it can be, it doesn't have to be his truth. It's just how I witness him as my father,
right?
This softness that I got to experience with him, it felt like that knot that I had of this father wound melted away. It awakened space for this masculine that I could attract that were safe, that felt held. And it's interesting, like all these men I started attracting, and even Marines around me, they were saying like, I don't know why I feel the call to like just protect you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this was such a huge shift from like men who wanted to abuse me.
Yeah. Is that when you forgave your father? Is that when you forgave him?
Yes.
Yeah. Because you could feel it. It was like a, it wasn't even just in words. It was like this heartfelt, like, I'm sorry. Yeah.
It was that. And I will also say the year prior to that, when I realized that I had a lot of fatherhood wounds, I was doing a lot of shamanic healing. So I think it was all leading up to like, I was doing a lot of work on like talking to him in shamanic spaces and like telling him like, that really hurt me. I took everything as my truth. And that was hard. That was so painful for me to love you the way I did as a young little girl and admire you the way that I did for your strength and to see that strength be used in the way that it was.
Yeah.
You know, so I was doing that work shamanically as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Do you think that it was that connection with the divine that pulled you through everything?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I talked about earlier, like, you know, just like in your period cycle, you start to shed parts of you that no longer serve you.
Yeah.
I was also going through that. It's called the death cycle, right? So I felt like I was going through a death period as well. There was a part of me that had to die with my ex-husband in order for me to step into the new version of me. And that meant it was a no longer a wounded woman. I didn't have this toxic masculine inside of me. I started to see changes in how I behaved. The way I started showing up in my masculine world was also more in my truth, because I didn't realize, like, I was also in my toxic masculine, like very, very competitive. Mm-hmm. I'm very, very competitive in nature. Like, oh, I said all of that, like, automatically started to melt away as I started to change my nervous system. Now, yes, I do shamanic work, but my shamanic work is very much tied with the somatic practices and nervous system regulation, because all the work that happens is within your nervous system, right?
Yeah.
You can't think your way through healing, and you can't say, I love you, I forgive you, and let that be healing, because you have to feel the forgiveness. And for me, when that happened, it was like, I forgive you for everything that's happened. I'd let it all go. And when I forgave him, I actually forgave my ex-husband too. So I got to like see the value in his presence, and I still use my marriage with him as an experience to shape my current self. Just know why I talk about living your truth is that you can do life wrong when you're living your truth. And yes, it's going to hurt and awaken and trigger other people. And for me, when I started to live my truth, it was so difficult. It's been so difficult for my mother.
Yeah.
But what's really happening is that it's my awakening is awakening her wounds. It has nothing to do with me. She's just using my story and what I'm doing and how I'm living and how I'm dressing and expressing myself as a sensual, sexual, shamanic, powerful being. I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm just living my truth. But what it's doing is it's awakening her wounds. And for the first time in my life, I'm watching my mother actually cry.
Yeah.
Because she had to show up as a strong father in our family. So I'm watching how she's in a lot of pain. She's feeling all these feelings that have been dormant and hidden inside of her vessel. So that's what you will do for each other. You know, that's what we do with our sisters and brothers and our family.
Yeah.
Like when we're living our truth, where it has nothing to do with you. And of course, like, have compassion for them and hold that space for them. But just know internally, like, you can do life wrong when you're living your truth. Mm-hmm. And if it is activating someone else, congratulations. Congratulations.
Yeah, it's good though. It's making her look at things and examine them.
Feel her feelings.
The more I talk to people, the more I see that there's just really no way to avoid moving through traumas. We either hold it and it affects us and it like destroys us, or mm-hmm. we have to move it out of our body. That could be through movement, through breath, through yoga, mm-hmm. through screaming, through medicine. But it doesn't just resolve on its own. It doesn't just go away if we push it down. It has to come out. And I love that somatic work too. It's just like moving. It could be dancing. It could be singing. It could be shaking, but just getting stuff out of our body that we hold in can be so powerful, and it can look different for so many different people. And so there's so many avenues, but it has to come out. It can't stay in there.
Yeah, it has to either come out or it has to be alchemized
mm-hmm.
into something that's actually useful for you. Because carrying hate for others or anger, like, it really doesn't serve you. But then you can alchemize it, right? For me, it was rage. Rage is like very prominent in my field. So I just, I alchemize it to create art. And it can be through movement, like you said. Like, I love dancing. Dancing is the best somatic practice. Like, just shake it. Like, if you're listening to this, like, take a moment and take a deep breath in and feel your body and see, like, what is arising within you. Like, whatever it is arising within you, be with it, feel it, and then play a song that resonates with that emotion and just dance with it. It's such a simple practice, but it's so potent. It's so potent. It's like, why don't we do this every day?
Yeah, just moving energy out that doesn't serve us. Yeah. That's connecting with that feminine, is that connecting with our body, embracing our body, moving in our body, moving energy out, being aware of what's happening within it, using our voice, sharing with other people and community. Those are all like those feminine traits that'll help us move through trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Or even not even necessarily trauma, just like moving through things in life that don't serve us. Yeah,
just move through life, right? Because it's the one word that I would define the divine feminine with is flow. That is the element I am now learning to connect with. And like, I have to accept my big swells and big emotions that I have, right? And like learning to be with it and accepting it, that is very much the feminine. Mm-hmm. Or like if maybe in your astrological chart, you got a lot of fire, how can you marry it and be with the fire and use it in a way that is a creative power for you and not catastrophic for you and the people around you? Like use your elements to your own purpose, you know?
Right. So instead of somebody saying, oh, you have too much fire, too much that, you just transform it so that it becomes like a powerful source instead of a detrimental. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Same with our voice, right? We can use our voice in a good way that helps heal ourselves and others, or we can use it in a way that doesn't. That's awesome. So how do people reach you? What are some of the offerings that you have, and how can people connect with you if they wish to?
Yeah, thank you. I love hearing from people so, so much. It is literally my purpose to be part of the Divine Feminine's Awakening, and I am a living embodiment of that work. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, all the places as Rimsha Wardha. It's just my name, rimshawardha.com. I kept it easy because everything that I do is evolving with who I am as I'm growing older as well. And then I work with combo medicine. So I'm a medicine woman myself who I work with indigenous medicine, and it is a warrior medicine. It's not an easy path, but it's something that can help you like purge through a lot of your trauma. So really, really beautiful medicine. But my true offering is the Path of the Feminine. Like it is a year-long membership. It's like infinite. It doesn't change. So if, you know, there's women out there who are like longing for connecting to their inner feminine path and understanding how to marry it and be with it and not like fight it and resist it, then that is the membership for you. Because we, every single month we go through the internal seasons and then the external season and connecting with what is actually happening in the world, because we are constantly evolving with the collective, with Mother Earth, with the heavens. So you really learn how to tap into your divine feminine path with the rest of, like, with the big community that I'm cultivating. So that is my big offering. And I also do one-on-one sessions when people are needing direct, you know, help. And again, that's like all somatic and shamanic path. So I'm really, really honored to be here. Also, I have a podcast that I co-host with my soul sister. Her name is Melinda, and we host Her Story Podcast. We bring in light workers, healers from all over the world to provide you the tools for healing. Because this path, again, like my motto is like, you don't have to walk this path alone.
Yeah. I love that. Well, thank you. I want to thank you so much for your time and for your openness and willingness to share your story. And I love these inspirational stories where people have that dark night of the soul. They go through some tremendous experience and then break out of that and evolve into this brighter light, which you've done. And so I really appreciate your story and your time and your energy. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Connected Community Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please like, share, and subscribe. I can be found at www.nikkiyyoga.com, NikkiYyoga.com. Until I see you again next week, I hope you have a beautiful day.